How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the First Baptist Podcast. I'm here with two guests this time, and my co-hosts, maybe. We're in the works of all of this, but I'm with Jenna Brandon and Mr. Jimmy James, Pastor Toma. We are here for the same reason we were here last time, and that's because our sermon had some technical difficulties and didn't get recorded, and so we wanted to hop on and just, talk about the sermon series and the last sermon specifically, kind of talk about that. So how y'all doing?
Doing great. Feeling good.
I don't do banter. Let's just get to this.
I've never seen Jimmy more uncomfortable yet. Also
horribly uncomfortable and excited.
He's excited.
He loves it.
Because I can say whatever I want.
Yes.
Which is a dangerous thing for
James. We're going to start with a question for you.
Great.
And I'm kind of going off script here.
Yeah. Do you want me to take away? Yeah,
actually, yes. Co-host, go ahead and take away.
So we're doing a sermon series on church membership, kind of three installments, three sermons that are covering the topic of church membership. And so my first question to you, James Toma, is what inspired the decision to do a membership sermon series? Why?
That's a profound question, Jenna.
Thank you.
Well, Alan, what inspired us to do this? I think we became convicted that membership was something that we saw in Scripture. You know, we see God have a people that he calls to himself from really the beginning, from Genesis 1 to Revelation. Then, honestly, he always goes back to, keeping roles and knowing who his people are and calling people to be a part of his people and marking his people and taking his people places and redeeming his people. And they are a unique set of people called Israel or called the church that are set apart for the works of God to be a light to the nations. And I mean, you might not see the word membership in the Bible, but what, you know, as we've talked about it, we see this belonging to God's family, and membership becomes like just a defining term to identify those folks. And so for us, because of just some of the, you know, all the things that we've been through lately and how we've approached membership in the past, I think we thought it would be a fantastic idea of just to remind people who we are as a church, and not just what a membership is, but what it means to be and unite together around the gospel as First Baptist Church Durango.
Yeah, I think just adding on top of that, like, you know, we did just want to get everybody on the same page. I feel like there's been a lot of just change in some ways of new people come in, and there's also been people here that have been here for a long time here at First B, and we just thought it was time, like, for us to all get on the same page. And so I think series on membership was a good tool to make that happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, so far we've covered the first sermon in this series on membership was basically called The Gospel.
It was. You're right.
And then this last Sunday we covered the title of the sermon was Connection, Transformation, and Multiplication. So can you speak to these two sermons, particularly this past Sunday, what the sermon was about and the purpose of the sermon in this kind of overall picture of church membership?
Right. I think like the underlying theme, even as we like approach these three sermons, is that everyone kind of has this idea of what membership is from a church perspective. Like, I'm going to sign my name and kind of be subservient to the overlord leaders of the church. And that is just fundamentally untrue. But I think that's all kind of, it's in the back of all of our minds. And so even as we approach like last week, we start off with the essential of not just being a part of our church, but what it means to be a part of the church, which is the body of Christ. And to be a part of the body of Christ, you have to be united to Christ. And how are you united to Christ? As you come to a saving faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And therefore, you are then a part of the Catholic Church, the world, the global worldwide church.
The universal church,
Yeah. You are a member of that first before you are a member of anything else. And therefore, as a Christian, and that's kind of what we started talking about too, is now because you're a part of that church, that means you're a Christian. What does it look like to be a gospel-centered human? Like, what does it mean to have your life shaped and directed by Jesus and not just like your own fleshly desires?
Yeah. And I was going to ask, and I think you kind of just did it, but if you were to define gospel centered, one of my favorite quotes, as you said, is the gospel shouldn't just be sprinkles on your cupcake, but it's the whole cupcake. That was actually said from the pulpit. And that was an amazing, amazing thing.
Not even last week. I didn't even use it last week. No, but that's what we do, right? I think what I have seen it done as in the past is that it's just like when I become a Christian, it's a part of who I am. It's not the essence of who I am. And so, it's like it sprinkles on the cupcake to make it look better, especially for me coming from the South, where being a Christian was just kind of a way of life. What happened was when we did that, it just became a way to look better in front of people and to act like we were a part of the culture. And so everyone would give us pats on the back. Oh, man, you're a good Christian, where that's just the sprinkles. But really, if your heart's not transformed, it doesn't matter how you act. You're not a Christian. It's not how this goes. And so.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's things that we're like fueled by often. One of the things I think you even touched on this last week is sometimes we're fueled by comfort. So whatever will bring us comfort, that's what we'll go and pursue. Or sometimes we're fueled by fear or guilt or shame. And here, I think the idea, what we're talking about is being fueled by the gospel. Because Jesus loved us, then that fuels us to love others, right? And so I think that that's kind of what that term means, is being gospel-centered, is being fueled by the gospel in everything that you do.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that came through really well in the sermon. And also this idea of Christianity just being a piece of the pie in your life instead of really being the pie plate and the whole, the foundation of everything, and how that
the pie plate.
Did you like that?
We've got so many analogies going on right now.
A lot
so
of food analogies.
This microphone still isn't good. We have to get that other one. Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
We're working on things, but we're getting there. Jenna, anything else?
Yeah, there? But how do you feel like that connects to this idea of church is just showing up on Sunday? And you think about church once a week, and then if you're even attending weekly, and church is just this really, church membership is this just really small sliver of life, really. And how do you feel like that is really true for the ordinary Christian, the ordinary churchgoer, maybe in our community even?
Maybe another way of saying that is like, what does it mean to be a church member?
Yeah, exactly.
What I think it means to be again, this is the definition according to Jimmy or James, depending on who I am today. I would say being a church member is being a Christian who is committed to a local group of Christians.
That's good.
Right. Not just like I'm committed to an institution, but these are the people that I'm going to practice the one another's of scripture with, that I'm going to serve. They're going to serve me. I'm going to encourage them. They're going to encourage me, so on and so forth.
You said the one another's of scripture. What do you mean?
The one another's of scripture.
Okay.
That's what I mean, Alan.
If you were to define that for people who don't know what that
means. Are around 50 verses in scripture that we need to encourage one another in the faith, or there's a reciprocal relationship of spurring one another on to love and good deeds, or what it means to care for one another. And they're often called, we call them the one another's of scripture. And now I have to look it up on my handy dandy googly here, just to kind of give us an example, because this is what happens as I blank in the midst of all of our discussions. So like we have love one another, which is the obvious one, but that's how I roll. Devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, build one another up. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of them that God calls us to. And in church membership, it helps us identify those to whom we are meant to one another.
And how is that gospel driven? Like, how does that not just become a thing? Well, hey, we just need to be better. We just need to treat each other better.
Check this off my checkbox.
How does kind of that gospel centeredness and then loving one another come together?
Well, I think that depends on how we view what Christ has done for us, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Right. I mean, if Jesus just, if Jesus died in order that I could attain salvation, then it becomes something to achieve. I do the one another's in order to gain salvation. But if Jesus died and now as a result, grace motivates me to both be like Christ, to act like Christ, to obey Christ, to be driven by the Spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then I will act out the one another's of scripture out of my goodwill, because I understand where I am in relation to Christ and to other people who are Christians. I'm driven by the gospel and I love like Christ is loved. And then I love others and they love me as Christ has loved me.
Yeah. And that's essentially what membership is, right? Would you agree?
Amen.
Is looking at what Christ's done and then how does that change being committed to these people here in front of me?
I think that's actually a great segue into this past Sunday sermon, right?
What a transition, Jenna.
Hey, so connection, transformation, multiplication. Can you talk us through what those words mean in the context of church membership?
Oh, really what we're doing when we're talking about our values is we're talking about how we live out our mission. So our mission here at our church is love God, love people, make disciples, which in some ways is just the most cliche, boring mission statement of all time. That like, if the people were to go, hey, what's your mission statement? They'd be like, that is so unattractional and terrible. You need to come up with something else. But I kind of love it.
I love it.
I like it.
Yeah.
And really, I like it because it's biblical and not hypey.
Yeah.
And not like attractionally weird. Like we're trying to do a bit. Like, I just feel like, oh, what does the Bible say? We should probably just do that, which a lot of times that drives me crazy too. But in this case, I think that's what should drive us as a church is to do the greatest commandment and the great commission. Right.
Yeah.
And so that should be our mission, but still, it helps to understand what it means to carry that out and to live that out and to experience that. And so then you add some values on top of that to help clarify what that could mean for people. And so we start with connection, which when we connect, we're going to connect with God individually. And part of that comes back to what we talked about as far as the gospel goes. You have to be connected to God before you can even be a member of a church. And then not only that, but the passage that we talked about last weekend was 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the gospel received, the gospel in which you stand, and the gospel by which you are being saved. And so we have to be standing on the gospel and connected to Jesus in that way. And then he continuously, by being connected to the gospel, then transforms us. But we'll get to that in a minute. And so ultimately, connection begins with me being connected to God by receiving Christ, but also standing in and with him every day. And we spoke to that being abiding in Christ. And so now I'm going to look up how I defined abiding, because, you know, I feel like we have to define what it means to be in Christ and connected to God. Are you okay?
I am.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Just had a lot of Applebee's.
Oh, that's disgusting. By the way, I'm pretty high maintenance. If you didn't know, whoever's listening,
I think everyone knows.
So the way we talked about abiding in Christ was just a reference to John chapter 15. But one of my former professors, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson, he defined abiding as this: abiding in Christ means allowing his word to fill our minds, direct our wills, and transform our affections. And I mean, that's like a fantastic definition.
Yeah.
And again, I that's kind of immaterial. And so we went into talking about what it means to read the word of God and be transformed by the word of God, and how so often what we do is we read the word of God because we think we have to read the word of God, which I'm not saying we shouldn't read the word of God, but the way in which we approach reading the word of God is not for completion, but for communion.
Well, and in some ways it's kind of self-centered when we look at it that way. And I've been guilty of that, you know, not trying to condemn anybody, but we do it to make ourselves feel better.
I do it. Totally. Right? I've got a check mark. I have a Bible reading plan. And when I check it, you know what? It makes me feel awesome because I accomplished something awesome for God today.
Right. Yeah. But what you were saying this week is actually, it's a gift that God's given us to be able to connect with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the more he reveals himself to us in his word through his spirit, and the more we see his character and his work, then the more we are drawn to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thankfully, because otherwise, you know, we're just going, you know, what just happened when I was reading Numbers chapter 4? Yeah, I'm not in on that, man. But God always has something he can share with us, maybe not in the moment, but maybe for the future as he shapes our hearts and our minds.
Yeah. Great piece of your sermon this last Sunday was kind of talking about like, how often do we really just open the Bible and ask God, teach me, show me. And so often we just come to the Bible like, all right, I'm going to read my chapter, or I'm going to read for my 10 minutes, or, you know, I got part of my Bible reading plan to finish here. And we don't really approach the Bible as this opportunity to commune with God, to learn from the Holy Spirit. And just like you were saying, Alan, it's just this box to be checked in the day.
Yeah. Would you say there's anything practical of like how to make that shift? Like if someone was saying like, hey, I want it to be, you know, I want to do this. Is there anything that comes to mind of what that looks like?
Well, Alan Rogan, I think a good way to start that is to pray. I don't think we actually pray before we read the Bible. As weird as that is. And what's frustrating about the spiritual life of a Christian is that so much of it is formation and practically unpractical things. Like you just need to pray. Well, okay. It's like, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? Right. I don't even know. What are you talking about?
Right.
But we don't even, but when we're talking about reading scripture, it's a, hey, open my eyes and help me to hear and help me to see you for mm-hmm. who you are,
yeah.
not for just who I want you to be or how I want things to be or even whatever. Because I think the best times for me when I connect with God are when he's like, hey, bud, so this passage you just read, that's talking about you. What's wrong with you? And what's wrong with you? And the problem is at times that's how I approach the word of God.
Right.
He's God's coach and he's coming after me because that's my background.
Yeah.
Right? And he's not coming after me to come after me, but he's coming after me to help me. And so, and just for a little context there is even like when I preach at times that comes out, not intentionally, but because that's how I best grow in the faith, which is good for some people, but not great for others.
Right.
And so as we, you know, talk about reading scripture, I think it starts with prayer. For me, it's always helpful to journal and go, all right, man, this, for some reason, I'm just thinking about this piece, this verse, like this character that I'm reading about, and then just start praying and going, all right, God, what are you trying to tell me about him? Or like Boaz, like I'm reading Ruth today, mm-hmm. and Boaz really personifies both the person who is the savior of Naomi and Ruth, but also is this like gentle and kind character to them when really in some ways, in a sense, he didn't have to be.
Right.
Yeah.
It's undeserved in some ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think going off of like that journaling thing, mm-hmm. when I first became a navigator, everyone was into journaling. And I was like, what are you guys even talking about?
You just need a fountain pen.
Yeah, fountain that pen. You need to have problems. A tobacco pipe.
I really actually just kidding. Starting with a Metropolitan, a Pilot Metropolitan.
Oh, here we go. Why'd you say that? Anyway, but I think what journaling does is it really does help you slow down and to look at the Bible, not to check it off, but to like meditate on it and then to write down your thoughts, interact with it. Yeah. And I think that's a really important thing that I think a lot of people don't even really know how to do.
Not at all.
I think I'm just learning.
That was a skill I had to learn was what does it look like to journal?
Yeah. Right.
Cause that was like a Christian word that I had no idea about, you know,
I still think like when I don't journal, it takes me first of all, I know how I'm doing spiritually by how much I'm journaling. Like if it was like 6 days in between each one, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to avoid God clearly.
Interesting.
Because I don't want to express my feelings, or I don't want to express my mood or whatever, because I know either what I'm feeling or experiencing or whatever is probably wrong and just self-centered, but I don't want to be confronted with that reality. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to deal with myself in those moments. And it almost doesn't have to, what it's saying is I don't trust God with myself and so on and so forth. But then when I do, and you get back into the habit, you're like, man, this is just life-giving that God would hear me and know me and it's going to be okay. And this is what Christ died for. And this is how he's moving. Well,
and I think that that's ultimate connection too. Cause even when sometimes when we talk about connection of God, you know, a lot of it's like, all right, well, I've got to, you know, sit in a dark room and try and pray for 3 hours. And that's what connection with God actually is.
Well, totally. The Shekinah glory of God has to fall down on me and I have to float in the air. Right. I mean, like really, we think that like if I don't have this supernatural mystical experience, then I'm not communing with God.
Right.
And that is just modern mysticism and, you know, and dumb.
Right. So was there another aspect of connection that you touched base on, because it was connection with God.
Individual connection with God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Gosh, we're talking about church membership. So it had to be something around that. And so the other part would be around one another, right? Corporately.
Yeah.
And so it's not just connection individually, but corporately. And I think this is an interesting one that I think, again, because of the individualistic nature of our society, that we forget this one as Christians, because really we've been shaped by the culture that even the church is meant to try and attract you individually to consume the church itself, which is like nowhere in the Bible. It's insane how we have, and we have come to believe this. And by the way, you're getting the unfiltered me that doesn't really, that's not really,
that's great, man.
Being soft on sermons, which is for some of you, you're like, what? It's like,
I thought the sermon Jimmy was the unfiltered Jimmy.
No, you have no idea. And it's not like worse. It's just more direct. Mm-hmm. And so like, even as we talk about this, like the scriptures would say, the passage we came out of yesterday for connection was Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. And it talks about, that we are, that Jesus is our peace, that he made us one, that he's broken down the hostility, creating one man, that he reconciled us through the cross, killing hostility because, I put this in parentheses, and the reason why we need that is because we are all in need of grace and we have all sinned. And so therefore we are in need of an outside agent to bring us together because we would not do that for ourselves. And so like, these are just a few things. We become fellow citizens with other saints. We're members of the household of God, that we're built on the teaching. All of us are built on the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus is the cornerstone. And so, with that, like, that's how he has united us together. That's how he's connected us together. And so there has to be some sort of connection between us, one another, and our individual selves, each other, and then God. And ultimately, we are individuals that make up the body of Christ. And so we need each other in our lives to both connect with God and to be, then the next thing we'll talk about next is being transformed. And so this is why I think being connected to one another and individually being connected by God are so important, because it's really three sides of the triangle. And you can't really have, you're really not going to get the fullness of all three unless you have all three. You're not going to grow in your faith. You're not going to experience fully the grace of God, and other people are not going to be able to understand or connect with God in a way they could without one another, which is just mind blowing, I think, to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's kind of daunting too. Sometimes for me, it's like, it's kind of that same thing. It's like how to pray. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I ask the question, how do I connect? And then I think everything's got to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything's got to be like, mm-hmm. I've got to have a 5-course meal for all these church members. I've got, you know, and obviously that's not correct, but I think what we're saying is just
Satan.
Yeah.
And I think it's church culture previously too, which is hard to break out of when it's like, man, my house has got to be spotless. Like, right. You know, speaking from my perspective, it's like, man, I got to clean every inch of my home before I have a church member over. And it's like, do I do that with my friends that maybe even aren't Christians? No, like I just have them over to my house. It's not, you know, and I feel like that's very much church culture.
Totally. Yep. Like one of the things that has just been pressed upon me so much is it's like a lot of us would rather actually go have fun with our friends that are outside the church because they're more fun, because Christians don't know how to have fun. And it drives me insane.
Like I know how to have fun.
I know how to party. So I like to party.
Speak for yourself, man.
Oh my gosh. But like, I mean, you know, we live in Durango. And so everyone, unless you hate hiking, probably go, like Alan hates hiking, but most people don't hate hiking. So why don't you just invite somebody and go have fun and go hiking and connect with one another and just go, man, how you doing? Like really, how's work going? You know, how's parenting? Like I know, like for me, my, you know, 3-year-old, how's Johnny doing? He's a little bit of a psycho. So how are you doing parenting him? How are you doing? Not just like shutting him down, but directing, the good things about kind of his aggressiveness and his personality, or, you know, how's marriage, or so on and so forth. Again, I think those are opportunities for us to connect and then rub off on one another and encourage each other in the faith that we really don't take advantage of, because we think that the only way Christians can connect together is to sit around in a circle and have a really serious discussion about some Bible verse, which again, is not bad.
It's not bad.
But we miss what it means to be connected together.
Well, and I actually think something that you're gifted in, James, Robert Toma, is that you're good at even hanging out with people when it's not those sorts of questions too. Like mm-hmm. you'll love to talk to people about fly fishing, about the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I don't know who would want to talk about that, but you're good at talking or venting. It's probably more of a venting.
I don't either.
But hey, we've got about 5 minutes left here. So, let's kind of jump to that next point, that transform that we were talking about. If you want, do we have time for that? Or we can also talk about that more next week.
Or multiplication. We could also touch on multiplication.
I think that's this week, right? That's what you're talking about this week?
We talked about all of them last week.
All of them.
Or this week, yes. Okay. So we did connection, transformation, and multiplication. And so ultimately what we talked about is if you are connecting with God, you are connecting with others, there will be transformation in your life, mm-hmm. right? Like you will be transformed into the image of God. Because like when we connect with God, when we see God for who he is in his word, he reveals to us the places where our flesh still rules, where we're still like, God, I want things my way, not your way. And through his word, he reveals that to us. And then we pray and we enact things to see ourselves be, honestly, like we talked about, be more gospel centered and to walk in the ways of Christ and the freedom of that, and not in the slavery and the change of the sin that we're trying to avoid. And I think in the second service, I made much more emphasis on the point, like for me, currently, my favorite thing and my favorite way to avoid God and my issues and to gain the comfort that I long for is through the YouTube. Mm-hmm. And on the YouTube, I can watch anything that in the moment is just kind of like stoking my affections, for lack of a better term, to drown out the areas in which that I'm struggling. So like, for instance, I think on my YouTube, my algorithm currently, there was like there's one video for the Stradivarius violins. There's like Star Wars ones. There were football ones because the draft is coming up next week. There were Texas football.
This week.
Oh, yeah, that is this week. Man, I hope the Cowboys take Bijan. Anyway.
He won't. Just be ready to be disappointed. Or they won't.
But all that to say, like what God in those things does is go, hey, you're trying to avoid me and I've got life over here. And so you need to cut these things off and walk towards these things. And God does that. And that's a part of transformation, because as we behold the glory of Christ, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. Or even we are being renewed day by day, or he will be faithful to complete what he began in the first day of Christ. And so being transformed is about walking more completely in the freedom of the gospel rather than the chains and slavery of sin. And so we can do that individually, but when we do it corporately, it becomes much more obvious, because right. people rub you the wrong way. You rub them the wrong way. They sin against you. You sin against them. And you become a blunt instrument of the Holy Spirit to conform them to the image of the Son. And then you become their instrument to conform them to the image of the Son. And it's this horribly beautiful plan of redemption that God has to transform each of us. And it comes all through the fact that we are conformed. And to be honest, when we talk about church membership, a lot of the reason why we avoid church membership is because we don't like to be the instrument of transformation in each other's lives, because it hurts. Mm. And it does.
Yeah. Someone that I talked to after the sermon was like, you know what's funny is we all have like crazy uncles, crazy aunts, like people that are like hard for us to get along with our family, but they're still our family. And I was like, and I think it's exactly what you're talking Amen. About, right? Is mm-hmm. we all have people that maybe we don't get along with right away, but at the same time, it's like they're our brother and sister. So what does that look like? So last question here, James, we've got 2 minutes. How does this lead to multiplication? Because we started with gospel-driven connection, transformation, now multiplication.
Multiplication is an overflow of the other two, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, like if you are connected with God, you're just overwhelmed by his grace, and we're overwhelmed by his love. Like grace is getting something that you don't deserve, and you're overwhelmed for the fact that you've been forgiven, that no matter what you have done, no matter what you could do, no matter how bad or whatever it was, God forgives you. That's an insane thing. I want to tell everyone about that. And I always use the analogy of the backcountry gourmet burritos. Like, I love backcountry gourmet burritos. They're $12. You can split it with somebody, but it is the best burrito that you've ever had in the world. And Jenna's shaking her head.
You don't like them?
There's a better burrito. No,
this might have to be a whole. No. There might have to be a whole other episode on this.
Continue.
Get behind me, Satan. And so this is the real me. And so with that, though, I will proclaim the gospel of the good news of the burrito to people. But the reality is the gospel of Jesus Christ and God in Christ and the glory of God in Christ and the sovereignty of God in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, so on and so forth, that should overwhelm us with gratitude and grace to proclaim it to a dead and dying world, to ourselves, to our kids, to our coworkers and our neighbors. That should be where we want to, how we multiply forever and ever.
Thank you so much, Jimmy.
Yep. We appreciate you guys. Catch you next week.